Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTF members, I want to speak about the two very important events that occurred in the presidential election this past week. One was the first Romney-Obama debate, and the second is the rigged unemployment figures that came out on Friday. Both of these are very important events, and we have to discuss each of them on how this will affect the presidential election on November 6th. First, the presidential debate. Mitt Romney won that debate decisively. I mean, it was a triumph. He did the best job in that debate, in my opinion, of any candidate in any presidential debate I've seen since 1980, when Ronald Reagan decisively won his debate against Jimmy Carter. Ronald Reagan's victory in that debate led to a Reagan landslide that year. I believe that Romney was every bit as good as Reagan was at the peak of his debating skills. Romney really did an excellent job, presented himself very well, and did an excellent job. Barack Hussein Obama, on the other hand, was terrible in the debate. He was tired, he was arrogant, he just did not present himself well. He didn't even answer what Romney was throwing at him. It was just a disaster for Obama in every respect. Baruch Hashem, thank God that this debate turned out this way. If Romney had not won the debate, the election probably would have been over, because Obama was leading in all of the polls in the swing states, and even leading in the national popular vote polls in every single poll. Even the Republican poll showed Obama ahead everywhere. So this debate was essential for Romney, and he came through with flying colors. This was a very good job that he did. And this gave him a boost, and we see in the polls that he's gotten a boost and that he's running evenly and even ahead in some polls in some of the swing states, in many of the swing states. And nationally, we see that he's been boosted in the polls in the national popular vote. So this definitely gave him a boost. I don't know if he's ahead now or behind or what the story is or if it's even, but the race is certainly a lot closer, and we're back in the hunt, as they say. We have a chance now. We do have a chance of winning this election now because of Romney's outstanding debate performance. We have two more presidential debates coming up. Let's not assume that Obama's going to be the same in those two debates. I think a different Barack Hussein Obama is going to show up for those two debates. This time he's going to be much better prepared. This time he's going to be on the attack. So let's not be overconfident by any means. The next two presidential debates will be much more difficult, because this time Obama is going to come ready and he's going to attack, and the media is going to try to make it seem as though Obama won even if he didn't win. In this debate we had this week, the media couldn't even pretend. It was so obvious. Romney won so decisively. You remember I was saying before the debate that Romney had to win the debate decisively, so decisively that the media couldn't even pretend that Obama won. That's exactly what happened. The media couldn't even Obama supporters couldn't pretend that Obama won. The next two debates, I think Obama's going to be much better prepared, and therefore the media will try to pretend that Obama wins no matter what happens. So this is going to be a real challenge for Romney in the next two debates. But at least he got this initial boost, and that was very important. And we have a vice presidential debate coming up even before then on October 11th. We've got the vice presidential debate coming up between Congressman Paul Ryan and Vice President Joe Biden. That's going to be important as well in terms of who gets the momentum here. So those three events, the vice presidential debate and the two presidential debates, are coming up. And all three of those events will have a profound impact on the election. And there's a fourth event coming up. We have the final unemployment figures that are going to be coming up 4 days before the election, on the Friday before the election, for the month of October. That's going to be very important. So we've got four things to really watch: the three debates coming up, one vice presidential, two presidential, and the unemployment figures that are coming up for October. Those four things that are still coming up will still have a big effect on the election, in addition to everything else that happens, the daily reporting and everything else that people do to try to influence the election. All of that will have an impact. Now, The good news, of course, is the Romney-Obama debate came out the way we wanted it to come out. The bad news is that the unemployment figures were deliberately rigged and that most people probably believe the lying, distorted, deliberately doctored and cooked unemployment figures that the Labor Department produced. And yes, they were doctored and cooked. Even serious people like Steve Forbes and other very serious people who were part of the establishment said that these figures not only are very suspicious, there's something wrong here, this couldn't be. Because employment, new jobs, have to be created at a rate of about 150,000 a month just to keep up with population growth, and only 114,000 were created in the month of September. The idea that with the creation of 114,000 jobs in September, when you need at least 150,000 just to keep up with population growth, and when many people continue to drop out of the workforce every month, the idea that the unemployment rate under those circumstances would drop from 8.1% to 7.8% is just not logical. It defies logic. It defies common sense. There was a survey taken of 25 of the leading economists about what would happen with unemployment. And they predicted in September, this is before the rigged unemployment figures came out, and they said, this is what the 25 leading economists said, they said unemployment, that the number of people finding jobs would increase by 115,000. And they were correct, more or less. It increased just slightly less than that. It increased at 114,000. And they said that with 115,000 new jobs, and again, it turned out to be 114,000, just a little bit less than that, but they said with that level of new jobs, unemployment would actually go up from 8.1% to 8.2%. That would not be enough to keep the unemployment rate where it is. Unemployment would actually go up from 8.1% to 8.2%. This is 25 economists saying this. And among the 25, some of them actually felt that it would go up even more than 8.2%. It would go up even higher than that. Not one of the economists thought unemployment would go down. Not one out of 25. And again, this is at that same level of job creation that we actually had in the month of September. This is what they were saying would be the result, statistically. And for unemployment to drop to 7.8% after we have such a pathetic level of job creation and so many people dropping out of the workforce, there is no way. There is no way. This was clearly rigged. Now, the problem is that Mitt Romney and the Republicans are too wimpy to say this was rigged. Instead, they're saying, well, the unemployment rate is still very high. And why is it so terrible for them to do this? Why should they should say that it's rigged? And why should they say that it's rigged? They should expose the fact that it's rigged, because if not, the Obama campaign can create a narrative here where people think that things are getting better. Things are not getting better. Things are much worse, and things are continuing to get worse. On every front, things are getting worse. Millions of people, fewer are working than were working when Obama first took office. And yet they're telling us that the unemployment rate now, 7.8%, is what it was when he first took office. That's not possible. Millions of people have dropped out of the workforce. Now, they say that some of the people dropped out because you have baby boomers retiring. Yes, that is part of the reason. But millions of people who are not part of that, who do not want to retire, have dropped out because they've just given up on working. And we have a record high number of people who are working part-time when they need full-time work. Millions of additional people who are not in that situation when Obama first took office, who are now working part-time when they need full-time work, who are underemployed, who are not earning enough to support their families. That's why the rate of poverty has increased so dramatically under Obama, and one out of every six Americans is now officially part of the nation's poverty rate, part of the nation's poor. That's why the number of people on food stamps has increased from 32 million to 47 million, 15 million more people on food stamps during the time that Obama's been president. That's an astounding figure. Obama actually has the worst economic record since the Great Depression in the 1930s, because we've never had such a long period of devastating economic statistics and devastating economic news for the American people. It's never gone on this long. Usually we've had recessions, we've had some bad recessions, but they last 6 months a year, and then we have recoveries, and then we have a big recovery, a sharp recovery after we have a sharp recession. That's what's happened in every case since the end of the Great Depression and World War II. Every case. This is the first time since the Great Depression of the 1930s when for four whole years this dismal economic disaster has continued with no end in sight. And that's why the rigged unemployment figures are important. It's important to point out that things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. And the rigged unemployment figures are an effort to lie to the American people. And by the way, if people say, well, these are government employees, they wouldn't do that. Are you kidding? You mean we should trust what the federal government says? You had these biased, vicious left-wing reporters on NBC, ABC, and CBS, and all the news programs that don't report news, that are not objective in any way, that are completely biased and that have been lying to the American people since day one. They all said there is no way that the federal government would lie to us. No way the federal government would lie to us. The federal government usually lies to us. Most of the things the federal government tells us are lies. And this is a situation where statistics can easily be doctored and cooked. They said, there's no way you can do that. It's impossible to do. Please, give me a break. These unemployment figures are affected by what's called seasonal adjustments. So the Labor Department, Obama appointees, can easily say, there were seasonal adjustments. We have to make seasonal adjustments. They have flexibility in how they present these numbers. They have flexibility. And they use that flexibility to deliberately lie and distort and present a picture that does not exist in the real world. That is a scandal. We're going to try to expose that in our upcoming videos, God willing. But the problem is that who knows how this is going to affect foolish Americans who were dumb enough to elect Obama 4 years ago. Don't forget, this is the same American public that elected Obama 4 years ago. So we've got a difficult situation on our hands where they're claiming that the unemployment figures, that unemployment improved, which is a lie. And who knows what they're going to do with next month's unemployment figures, which come out 4 days before Election Day. This is something that we got to challenge to the best of our ability, but it's a difficult situation. And it seems to have stopped the rise that Romney was getting out of his debate performance in the polls. Now the polls show that the situation has frozen again. Obama seems to have stopped Romney's rise in the polls, at least the latest polls that I saw today. Rasmussen and the Rasmussen tracking poll and the Gallup tracking poll were showing Romney improving after the debate performance, and now that stopped because of the rigged unemployment figures. God willing, I hope that this is just a one-day thing and that Romney has better polling figures. But this is not a good situation, and we've got to do everything we can to bring the truth to the American people. Now, as much as we have concern over the rigged unemployment figures and how foolish Americans are going to buy into that nonsense, as much as we're concerned about that, nevertheless, the fantastic debate performance by Mitt Romney does give us hope. We have a chance of winning the election. We have a shot. We have a shot. So we've got to do everything we can. Remember, I said when people were saying the election is over already, I've said all along, it's not hopeless. All types of things can happen, and I brought up specifically that the debates were coming up and things could happen. It is not hopeless by any means. I still think we have an uphill battle. I still think we have an uphill battle. I think we have a tough battle ahead of us because of the very biased news media. You see that Obama's using the federal government now even to doctor and cook statistics in a dishonest way. And again, we're going to do everything we can to expose this. But, you know, this is still a very tough battle we have ahead of us. But we have a chance. We do have a chance. A lot depends on what happens in the three upcoming debates, two presidential and one vice presidential, and a lot depends on how people react to the rigging of unemployment figures. But we have a chance here. We have a chance. And so we need people to help us with our videos. We have good news on the videos front. Our videos are gaining momentum. If you look at YouTube, you see that our videos are getting more and more views. When we put up videos now, some videos automatically start getting thousands of views right away, like the video we did on the doctor that had a one-sentence description of Obamacare, one-sentence description that really attacks effectively Obamacare. We put up a video on that. That video within 2 days already had over, I think, 2,200 views. You know, pretty nice rate for a brand new video. The videos we've been following, the other big videos we've been following, one of them has 82,000 views. The other has 82,000. A second one has 82,000 views. There's another video we have with 29,000 views. I mean, our videos are gaining momentum. There's no question about it. Our videos, Baruch Hashem, thank God, have been gaining momentum. I see increased numbers on the people coming to the videos. And we have hundreds of anti-Obama videos on YouTube. So that's certainly good news. And we see an increase in the number of people liking, favoriting, commenting, mirroring the videos, and so on. That's certainly helpful. But we need much more, because we want to reach people before the election. Over 100 million people are going to vote on November 6th. We need much more. We've reached already with our videos maybe 1.5 million people. But we need to reach far greater number of people, because most of those people have only seen maybe one or two JTF videos. We need to reach more people, much more people, between now and Election Day. So we need your help. We need people, whenever we put up the videos, whether they're the English or the Hebrew, help us also with the Hebrew. We're still trying to save the Jews of Israel. And we need the Hebrew videos. We need help with the Hebrew videos too. When we put up a Hebrew video, you should help us with that video as well if you want us to succeed in Israel. It doesn't take long to favorite, comment, and like our Hebrew videos. Someone mentioned on the forum, well, I feel funny putting English comments on a Hebrew video. You shouldn't feel funny doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. First of all, you're helping us in the search engine. Secondly, what Americans say in English about Israel very much affects what's going on in Israel, because Israeli leaders unfortunately give in to American pressure. So it is relevant what Americans say on our videos in English as well, even if they're Hebrew videos. So you should not be concerned about putting English language comments on a Hebrew video. Absolutely not. So please like, favorite, and comment on all of our videos. And if you can mirror the videos, in other words, if you can put them on your ZooTube accounts, mirror the videos means you upload them as well. You take the videos from us and you upload them as well. That also is very helpful. And please like and comment on the videos, not only on ZooTube, but also on Facebook. We have a Facebook account. We have Facebook accounts in Hebrew and English. Like, by the way, our accounts as well. Like the account itself, and like the comments we make, and like the videos on the Hebrew Facebook account, on the English Facebook account. Very, very important. We need your help in promoting and spreading the word, because we have the best videos on the internet. If anybody tells the truth in a convincing way about Obama, and if anybody exposes Obama, it's JTF. We're the ones that most effectively expose this scoundrel, this liar, this Muslim Jew hater and white hater. We expose him very effectively, more effectively than anyone else on the internet. And so it is essential that people help spread our videos and spread our message between now and November 6th. If this turns out to be a close election, which it may, some polls show the election has become close again after Mitt Romney won the debate. If this turns out to be a close election, then our organization and our videos that are reaching hundreds of thousands of people, and that reached already about 1.5 million people, our videos can make a difference if it's a really close election. It's possible. So let's do everything we can. And also God influences things. When God sees that we're doing what we're supposed to do, when God sees people putting effort in and putting and doing what they're supposed to do, God may decide out of his great mercy and kindness to try to influence things in a positive way, because we're earning that if we do what we're supposed to be doing. We earn God's assistance and God's help when we do what we're supposed to do. So please help us promote those videos. That's number one. The second thing is financial support. We need your financial support. We urgently need all the support we can get financially. That's very, very important for us. The big limitation for us is financial. I mean, the more help we have, the more we can do, the more good that we can do. The fact that we're able to achieve all of this on such a meager budget is nothing short of a miracle. But we need more help. Every time someone contributes to us, it makes a difference. It helps us. It helps us with the vital things that we're trying to do here, both in America and in Israel. And actually, if you don't have a lot of time to help us promote the videos and to help us with the forum and to help us on Facebook, if you don't have a lot of time for that, actually, the financial support is actually even more important. People who are giving financial support, those of you that are giving financial support, you're actually doing something even more important, because that's something that we need to function in the most basic way. We need the financial support to function. So I want to especially thank the great JTFers who help us with credit card payments, who go to JTF.org and who go to Hayamin.org. JTF.org is our English main page. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page. They go there, and with their credit cards, they click on the donate button. There's a donate button on top. They click on the donate button, and it only takes a few minutes. And with their credit card, they conveniently make a contribution to JTF. There are great JTFers who are generously doing that on a regular basis. We thank you. God bless you. God bless your families and your loved ones, both in this world and in the next. You're doing something very important. And we really thank you for it. God bless you. And in addition to that, just as important are the great JTFers who send us through the regular mail checks, money orders, and cash donations to our post office box. What you're doing is absolutely essential. God bless you. God bless your family and your loved ones, both in this world and in the next. You're doing something that is very important and helpful to us. And there's one other thing we need, aside from helping us spread the word with our videos and helping us spread the message and the financial support that is so important to our movement, because every time someone contributes to us, it gives us the ability to do more. Aside from that, those two things, the spreading the word on the videos and the financial support, the third thing that is so essential is prayers. We need people to pray to God to give us success. We should pray that Mitt Romney has success in his upcoming debates, and that Paul Ryan wins his debate, and that the American people don't fall for the rigged unemployment figures. We need people to pray for Mitt Romney to succeed and to win the election. Prayer is very important, and to pray also that JTF succeeds, because no matter who wins the election, JTF will be essential. After Election Day, JTF will be essential, both in America and in Israel, to continue our campaign to influence events. JTF is essential no matter what happens in the election. Of course, it will be in a much worse situation if God forbid Obama wins the election. If Obama wins the election, God forbid, we'll be in a worse situation. But JTF is going to be essential then to fight against Obama and to resist what he wants to do. And if Romney wins, Romney is certainly not the Messiah. JTF is going to be needed after the election if Romney wins as well. So pray for two things. Please pray for at least two things, in addition to other things you may be praying for, which you should pray for. For a Romney victory, for Romney to succeed, and for a Romney victory, and pray that JTF succeed, both in America and in Israel. We need your prayers. Prayers are important. Prayers have power. So, again, I thank the great JTFers. We're now in the final stretch. We have, I think, about 4 weeks to go. We have about 4 weeks to go until Election Day. After the holidays, which are coming up, we have holidays coming up starting tonight. Tuesday night the holidays end, and after the holidays we're going to begin a final all-out campaign to try to influence things and to try to make a difference. We need your help, and we need your help on all the fronts that we've mentioned. Thank you so much to the great JTFers. God bless the great JTFers who have been helping us. Let's all get involved. This is a critical time. And now let's get to our great questions from our great JTF members, and we start out with the great Brennan fan who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, while it is true that the U.S. is becoming third world, the fact is that half of whites are fanatically pro-Obama. Why? Unquote. Well, first of all, Brennan fan, let's not make the situation worse than it is. The majority of whites in this country have voted Republican in every election since 1964. For instance, John McCain won the majority of the white vote in 2008. Now, Obama got, I think it was like 55, 40, 45, something like that. So Obama got a lot of white votes. He got like 40, 45% of the white vote. I don't remember what the figures are. I think it was roughly 55% for McCain, 45% for Obama, something like that. But the majority of whites do still vote Republican. The bad news is that the majority of young whites did vote for Obama. Young whites, which is the future, which you would think would be the one bright spot in America, at least young whites you would think would be voting sensibly. But no, young whites, which is the future, are voting for Obama. So that's bad news. And the reason, you know the reasons why, because they think they're doing something noble by voting for a black Muslim. They don't consider him to be a Muslim, but by voting for a black man, and because they are left-wing, and because they've been brainwashed by the news media. 4 years ago, they were brainwashed by the media. Now they're being told that Mitt Romney is an extreme right-winger and he's going to do all these terrible things. They've been brainwashed. So we've got a big education campaign that we've got to begin, not only among whites. Of course, we want to influence other groups, young Asians and young Hispanics. Young blacks, I don't think we're going to make much headway with young blacks. Blacks have been programmed to hate. There are exceptions. Now, there are exceptions, like Congressman Alan West. There are some exceptions. But the vast majority of blacks in this country have decided that they are going to hate and that they are going to be part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's a choice they've made, a free will choice they've made. We've got a very tough education campaign ahead of us. And again, Brennan fan, as you know, JTF videos are the best answer to this. If only everybody was seeing JTF videos. That is the answer. That's the answer. We've got to spread the word as much as possible because our videos are the best and most effective in terms of dealing with the lies that Obama, the news media, and the establishment have been feeding people. Anyway, thank you very much, Brennan fan. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic on our forum. The great Dr. Dan writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of alleged Azeri assistance to Israel to strike at Iran? Unquote. Well, obviously, it would be very helpful if Azerbaijan, which is one of the former republics of the Soviet Union, did help Israel. They're right on Iran's northern border. If they did help Israel and allowed Israel to strike from their border, from their territory, it would be very helpful. The problem is, Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. That's what that Hebrew blessing means for Obama. Barack Hussein Obama and his administration have publicly leaked the information about the Azeris being willing to assist Israel in striking at Iran. So if this was true, and it might be true, there might be something to it, because I do think they're worried about a nuclear Iran, then Obama seems to be sabotaging that. It's just another one of these things that Obama's doing that is very harmful to Israel's survival. And another reason why we better hope and pray on November 6th that we beat Obama, because Israel is going to have a very, Israel, considering the weak, pathetic, cowardly leaders we have in Israel, I don't, I don't know. I'm not optimistic about Israel dealing with this issue the way they should if Obama's reelected, God forbid. Anyway, thank you very much, Dr. Dan. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmo to Obama, who writes, and I quote, "What are your views on animal testing? Should we use products tested on animals such as rabbits, monkeys, rats, dogs, cats, etc.?" Unquote. Well, I think it depends on what the purpose of the testing is. If the purpose of the testing is to save human lives and to improve the health of human beings, whether it's testing for tumors and cancer or heart disease or diabetes or other problems that afflict human beings and that cause millions of human beings to lose their lives, lo aleinu means it shouldn't be upon us. If it's testing for that purpose, yes, we should test on animals. The life of human beings comes before the life of animals. We should try to make it as humane as possible, as painless as we possibly can, but the lives of human beings are more important. However, if the testing is not for that, is not for health and for human survival, if the testing is just to create a new perfume or for various other things that people test animals for, if that's the purpose of the testing, then it is absolutely forbidden. These animals were created by Almighty God. And we have to be kind, not only to our fellow human beings, we have to be kind to animals as well. Animals are creatures of God, and we should be kind to them, and we should love and respect all of God's creation. So, unless it's important for human health or to save the lives of human beings, animals should not be tested for other things like creating new perfumes or creating various other things that people want to, you know, various other products that some companies want to create. That's the question involved when we decide whether or not animal testing is appropriate. Thank you very much, Yimach Shmo, to Obama. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom. Compare, contrast the Torah way of making war versus Quranic way of making war," unquote. Well, the Torah way of making war is, of course, to defeat and destroy enemies that want to destroy you. And that is something the Torah does command. But the Torah does not command the Jewish people to go out and attack people to force them to become Jewish. We don't force anybody to become Jewish. We're not even a proselytizing religion. Whereas Islam is a religion which wants to conquer the world by forcing everyone to either convert or to be murdered, and by teaching the most vicious hatred for all non-Muslims. The Torah does not teach hatred for non-Muslims. We just had the holiday of Sukkot, where we used to make sacrifices in the temple for the 70 nations. We used to pray for the 70 nations, meaning symbolizing the Gentile nations of the world, Umot Ha'olam. Umot Ha'olam are the nations of the world. And we used to make sacrifices in the Holy Temple, and are commanded to do so by the Torah, to bless, that God should bless and be kind to the nations of the world, to the Gentile nations of the world. And of course, we're not referring to evil anti-Semitic people. Evil anti-Semitic people and enemies of the Jewish people we hate and we curse. And that is the Torah way. But if there are Gentiles who are decent, moral, righteous people, as there are, we bless them and we love them and we pray for them, and we even make sacrifices in the temple on their behalf. And our purpose as a nation is to be Or La'amin, to be a light unto the nations, to bring them to God and understand, and the understanding of God, so that they'll live a meaningful life. So the Torah way of making war is based upon the behavior of nations. If they're evil, if they're against Israel and against the Jews and want to destroy Israel and destroy the Jews, or acting against God and God's will, acting unjustly, then we are required to defend ourselves, and we're required to stand for what's right. Whereas the Quran just wants to exterminate everybody who is not a Muslim and force everybody to become a Muslim, force everybody to become part of a religion that is the most barbaric, cruel, and evil religion on the face of the earth. And so the difference is difference between night and day. The Torah represents light and truth and justice and righteousness and kindness and compassion and love. The Quran represents hate and darkness and evil. The word love never even appears even once in the Quran. And I don't have to tell you that in the Torah it appears, I forgot exactly how much, but it's well over 1,000 times. In the Tanakh, in the Bible, in the Jewish Bible, the word love appears well over 1,000 times. So, the difference is between light and day, between these two religions. Lahavdil be'elef alufei havdalot, that means the huge difference between them, is an expression we use in Hebrew to show the huge difference between something righteous and something evil. And now Tag Mechir writes, too, do you believe there are any real mekubalim, or are all just crooks, unquote. Well, mekubalim are people that receive special spiritual guidance from God. They're religious spiritual figures. I don't know who's receiving spiritual guidance from God, because I'm not a prophet. There are no prophets. We have no prophecy. That we don't have. Since the destruction of the Second Temple, there is no prophecy, and until we rebuild the Third Temple, there will not be prophecy again. So if anybody claims to be a Navi, a prophet, they're lying. We don't have prophets. But, or they're either lying or they're deluding themselves. So we don't have prophets. But it is possible that we could have what's called Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, which is something that is a lower form. It's not prophecy, but it's a lower form of spiritual connection to God. That's possible. And we have had great Torah sages that probably have Ruach HaKodesh. We have had great Torah sages, and there are still great Torah sages in our generation. So no, of course, not everybody is a crook. Although there are also of course dishonest people who claim all types of things and who try to pass off all types of hocus pocus. Obviously, we have to be careful. But I would not characterize everybody who calls himself a mekubal as a crook. No, God forbid, I would not say that. Although there are some that are. We just have to use the brain God gave us and use our power of discernment when we look at different people who make different claims. Anyway, thank you very much, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great Chai. Chai writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. A Dvar Torah on Simchat Torah, please. Thank you, Chag Sameach, unquote. Chag Sameach Chai, which means happy holiday, and Chag Sameach to all of our great members. Even though most of you are probably going to be hearing this show after the holidays are over, unfortunately, because of the way the holidays came out, we couldn't do the show before then. But yes, we will certainly, I do certainly want to speak about the significance of Simchat Torah. We celebrate two things after Sukkot. We celebrate Shmini Atzeret, which is the eighth day, and we celebrate Simchat Torah. They're two separate things. And in the land of Israel, those two holidays are celebrated on the same day. Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret are celebrated on the same day. But in the Galut, in the exile, they're celebrated on two separate days. First, Simchat Torah, and afterwards, Shmini Atzeret. What is Shmini Atzeret? Shmini Atzeret is the eighth day. Why do we have an eighth day of celebration after the 7 days of Sukkot? Sukkot is the festival of booths. Sukkah means booth, and Sukkot means booths. Why do we celebrate the 7 days of the festival of booths of Sukkot? Why do we celebrate Shmini Atzeret? Symbolically, we do this because God doesn't want to leave us after 7 days. He wants to be with us one more day. He wants one more day. He so enjoys our company. And God so loves when His servants and His people pray to Him. He so loves us. Like a parent loves a child, in a way, but it's even on a higher level than that, that he cherishes every moment that we're with him on the holidays. God loves every moment that we turn to him and that we're with him. And so after the 7 days, he wants one more day with his children. He wants one more day with us. And so we have Shmini Atzeret to give us one more day with Hashem. Now, What is Simchat Torah? What's the significance? Simchat Torah means the happiness of the giving of the Torah. It means celebration of the Torah. Happiness of Torah, it literally means in Hebrew. What's the purpose of this holiday? Because we already have a holiday called Shavuot. 4 months earlier, we celebrate, around June, we celebrate Shavuot. That's 4 months ago, we celebrated, and that's Matan Torah, giving of the Torah. Matan HaTorah, that holiday. So we already celebrated God giving us the Torah. What is this that we have another holiday 4 months later celebrating? What's the point of this? Why would we have two holidays to celebrate the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people? This is something that one great rabbi, Hamagid Midubna, explains in the following way. A king wants a husband for his daughter. His daughter is wise and righteous and beautiful. He has a beautiful, wise, righteous, great daughter. And he wants a king that's suitable for his daughter. And the husband of his daughter will also be the next king. And he can't find somebody suitable. He turns to all these princes and turns to all of these other people and can't find anybody among the well-educated and the top of society. And he can't find anybody who is suitable enough, in his view, who's humble enough and kind enough and faithful enough. He can't find somebody like that for his daughter. Nobody who satisfies his moral needs and his desire for someone who's really moral and kind and loving and compassionate and truthful and honest and all the other things you would want in a husband. He can't find somebody like that. Finally, he finds a simple farmer. Just a farmer who's a simple guy. But this farmer, he finds to be very wise, very kind, very moral, a wonderful human being. And so he asks the farmer to marry his daughter and tells the farmer he's going to become the king. And the farmer is shocked but agrees. Okay. They get married and the farmer is living with his daughter. And then 4 months later, the farmer asks to meet with the king. 4 months into the marriage, the farmer asks to meet with the king and says he wants another wedding with his daughter. He wants to have a second wedding with his daughter. And the king says, why? You already had a wedding. And the farmer said, the reason I want another wedding is because I was so nervous. I'm going to marry the king's daughter, and I didn't know how it was going to come out, and I didn't know if you were going to really like me as your son-in-law. And I didn't know what I was getting into because I was only a simple farmer. I never had a chance to really enjoy the first wedding because I was so nervous and concerned and didn't really know what I was getting into. So I never really enjoyed the first wedding. So I want a wedding now. Now that I see how wonderful, how beautiful it is to be married to your daughter and to be part of this great marriage, I want another wedding so that I could really express my joy and my true happiness and really enjoy the wedding. And the king gives him a second wedding. That's what Hamagid Midubna, a great Torah sage, compares these two holidays to. On Shavuot, which we celebrated 4 months ago, we celebrate the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. And we stay up all night and we learn Torah on Shavuot, and we study and we learn and we celebrate and we sing and we pray. But when we were given the Torah 4 months earlier, when we were given the Torah, when the Jews in the Sinai desert were given the Torah, they couldn't really enjoy it because they were nervous, they were afraid, they didn't know for sure what they're getting into. They're being told they're going to have laws, it's going to be explained to them by God and Moses, and they accepted it. But they didn't know for sure what they're getting into. 4 months later, at the time of Simchat Torah, this holiday, now after 4 months, they know how beautiful the Torah is, what a wonderful way of life it is. And now they can really celebrate and really enjoy it. 4 months earlier, they didn't really enjoy it because they were so nervous and so uncertain. What is this? What are we really getting into here? Now, 4 months later, they know how beautiful the Torah way of life is. And now they can truly celebrate it and truly enjoy it. And so they want another celebration. But this time one where we can really enjoy it. And in a practical sense, someone who this day goes to the synagogue. You have a Jew who goes to the synagogue every Shabbat, every Saturday, and reads they read the Torah portion, because we have a Torah portion that we read every week. At the time of Simchat Torah, you will have read the entire first five books of the Bible, which is the written Torah. The first five books of the Bible are written Torah. The Mishnah, which is not part of the Bible, is the oral Torah. But you will have read the entire Torah if you go to synagogue every Shabbat, and if you read the Torah portion every Shabbat, you will have read the entire Torah, and you finish it the time of Simchat Torah. So, of course, finishing reading the entire Torah for the whole year, it's a cycle, every year we do this, finishing it brings great joy, that you read the Torah and you got new perspective and new understanding from the Torah. This brings great joy, and that's why we sing and we celebrate, we dance, because we read and studied the entire Torah during the year. So it's a time of great joy for us. That is Simchat Torah. What a magnificent faith Hashem has given us. Anyway, thank you so much, Chai. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, EB22, you always read my mind with your questions. EB22 writes over here, do you believe that the October drop in U.S. unemployment numbers from 8.1% to 7.8% for people still in the workforce is legitimate or a fudged number, unquote? EB22, I already answered your question in great detail in my opening. You're like a mind reader. EB22 is very smart. He's a very smart guy. And so you're like a mind reader. You knew what I was going to talk about. That I wanted to speak about this. I already answered the question, and of course the answer is that it is a fudge number. There's no question about it, and I explain why in great detail in the opening remarks. But EB, you're a mind reader. You're brilliant. Anyway, thank you, EB22. And now the great LKZ writes, and I quote, Baruch Hashem, I feel it in the air. Hope has returned and judgment on America has been delayed. When we see a President Romney, what then? Unquote. Well, LKZ, I'm happy that you're optimistic. I'm not optimistic or pessimistic. I'm realistic about this. I still think we have a tough fight ahead of us. I think Romney does have a chance of getting elected. But I also think that there's a very real chance that because of the news media and because of everything, all the games that are being played, like with the cooked unemployment numbers, I think there's a real chance that, God forbid, we could still lose this thing. I think that this is still very much up in the air. We've got a tough fight ahead of us. But yes, I agree with you that because of Mitt Romney's win in the debate, we have a chance. We got a shot. We have a real shot here. If Mitt Romney is elected president, God willing, I think that one of his first priorities will be to deal with the threat of a nuclear Iran. Finally, we'll have a president that understands what a threat this is to America and the world, not just to Israel. And so that'll be one of his priorities, and that'll be very important. And we, of course, want to push and encourage President Romney to take military action, either the United States or at least to let Israel take military action and encourage Israel to take military action, one or the other. In addition to that, we want to encourage President Romney to free Jonathan Pollard, which he is not committed to doing, unfortunately. But we want to push him to do that. And we want President Romney to keep his word that he made in the campaign many times, that he will not pressure Israel to commit suicide, that he will not pressure Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders, which are Auschwitz lines, that he will not push Israel to create a so-called Palestine state when the Arabs want to destroy Israel. We want Romney to stick to that, and instead to concentrate on what a president should concentrate on, which is saving America from the grave economic crisis and fiscal crisis that Obama has created in America. So those are some of the challenges. Of course, in America itself, we don't want Romney permitting mass immigration from the third world, legal or illegal, because it's a tremendous demographic threat to America's very survival. We don't want that, and we hope that Romney can be pushed in the right direction on that issue. And we want Romney again to keep to his word on fiscal issues, to lower taxes and reduce the tax burden, and to drastically cut spending and reform entitlement programs. That's what a President Romney, we would hope, would do, God willing. But we're not at that point yet, LKZ. We're not at that point yet by any means. We still got a tough election fight ahead of us. We've all got to get in this fight vigorously. Vigorously. We got to fight hard because this election is far from over. And right now, Obama still has an advantage, in my opinion. We've got to fight hard to defeat him and try to make a difference in the election. Anyway, thank you, LKZ. And now we go to the Great British Sword, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom, have you received my little packets? Are they useful? I know you are too busy to answer PM sometimes," unquote. British Sword, I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're referring to. I haven't received anything from you lately. When you say little packets, I'm not sure what you're referring to. I think you're going to have to PM me. I know that I've been very busy lately, but I think you're going to have to PM me on this because I'm not sure what you're referring to. I'm sorry, British Sword. Anyway, thank you, British Sword. And now we go to the Great Ruby Stars. And the Great Ruby Stars writes, and I quote, "Greetings, Chaim. What are some of the best things Shlomo has done for the site since he started working for you?" Unquote. Okay, fantastic question, Ruby Stars. The great Shlomo, our great administrator, first of all, redesigned, as we all know, the entire website. We now have websites that we can be proud of. We did not have those types of very professional-looking websites in English or in Hebrew before then. You know, we had jobs that people did for us that were nice, you know, but they weren't really professional-looking, fantastic-looking, outstanding thing that we have now. It's Shlomo certainly improved upon it immensely, and now we have really professional-looking main pages, and the website itself functions far better, thanks to Shlomo. In addition to that, Shlomo protects our websites. If you recall, before Shlomo started working for us, we were under constant attack, and the website was down a lot because of those attacks. Shlomo got in there and started fighting, and within several months, it took him several months to get all of the protections and everything else in place, but even though people, our members don't even realize that we have been under attack from time to time, again under massive attack, but it hasn't affected the functioning of the forums because of the protections that Shlomo has put in place. He's put in very, very strong protections in place. It's cost us money. One of the things I have to tell you, we have had a big expense here. It's cost us money. We have to protect our websites and our forums, and so we pay a good amount of money for that, so that we could deal with these types of attacks effectively. But we have been dealing with the attacks very effectively. If you'll notice, they haven't been able to bring down our website for a long time. Baruch Hashem, thank God. And again, Shlomo's the one who has made sure that all of these protections work effectively. And the videos. Shlomo produces the best videos anywhere on the internet in both Hebrew and in English. Shlomo reaches huge numbers of people. For us, large numbers of people. We want much more. But hundreds of thousands of people in Hebrew and in English have been touched by Shlomo's videos and have gotten a message in the most effective way that they never would have gotten if Shlomo was not working for us. Shlomo is responsible for the great videos that we've been putting out. So, in all these areas, and in many other areas, Shlomo working for us has been absolutely essential to the organization and to the movement. Absolutely essential. And he handles all of this and juggles all of these things in the most incredible way and works really long hours and does so with tremendous devotion and dedication and tremendous talent. Anyway, thank you very much, Ruby Stars. And now we go to the great PJC. The great PJC has come back to our forum. Welcome back, PJC. It's great to see you again. And PJC writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. With Mitt Romney's recent success in the presidential debate, do you think he will be able to dominate the rest of the debates also?" Unquote. That I don't know. I hope so. I think that you're going to see a different Barack Hussein Obama at the next two presidential debates. I think he's going to be much more aggressive and much better prepared. He was not well prepared, and he was pathetic. Obama was pathetic in the first debate. So I think Romney's going to have a bigger challenge on his hands. Also, the media, if Obama does even a half-decent job, the media is going to say that he won the debate. Even if he didn't win the debate, the media is going to try to sell us on the proposition that he won the debate. Now, in the first debate, Romney won so decisively this past week. He won so decisively the media couldn't even pretend that it was anything but a clear Romney victory. Even most of Obama's own supporters admitted that Romney won, and won big. I don't think that's going to be the case in the next two debates. I hope, of course, God willing, I hope and pray that it is the case, but I think the odds are that this time Obama's going to be much better prepared and much more aggressive. So I think the media is going to try to sell us the notion that Obama wins, even if Romney beats him again. I think the media this time is going to try to tell us that Obama won. So it's going to be a difficult challenge. We got a tough challenge ahead of us, PJC. We got a tough challenge ahead of us until November 6th. This is not an easy election to win when you have the whole news media except for Fox against us. And when you have Obama raising much more money than Romney, he's going to outspend Romney by a big margin. He's outspending him 3-1 in the swing states, which is similar to what we had 4 years ago when he was outspending John McCain 3-1. So we've got a difficult, difficult challenge here. Very difficult challenge until November 6th. But the fact that Romney won the first debate gives us at least a shot. We've got a shot at winning. So we've got to work hard, and we've got to do everything we can to try to influence things as well. Because, again, as I've said over and over again during this broadcast, and as I've been saying over and over again for the past 4 years, if the election is close, we potentially can make a difference if the election is very close. So we got to do everything we can. Anyway, thank you very much, PJC. And now we go to the great Say No to Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, Robert De Niro supported BHO, Barack Hussein Obama, and said there should be no white first lady. Your thoughts, unquote. Well, you know, this is a self-hating white and a self-hating Italian, which is a little more unusual. Italians are usually more sensible and more logical than most people in this day and age. But this is a self-hating white person, a self-hating Italian, who just loves blacks and hates hates white people. And this statement that he makes is a racist statement. Imagine if someone got up and said there should be no black first lady, that we shouldn't have someone like Michelle Obama in the White House. Everybody would say that that's racist. But saying there should be no white first lady, that's perfectly acceptable. Look at the racial double standard we have. Look at the vicious hatred directed against white people and the trashing and contempt for white people that we see coming from Hollywood, from the media, from the Obama campaign. That's all acceptable now. It shouldn't be acceptable, though. And now Say No to Islam writes, and I quote, two, expose evil rat David Duke, yimach shmo v'zichro, for the scum that he is, unquote. Well, David Duke is a Nazi who wants to be, his dream was to be the American Hitler. And Baruch Hashem, he's not succeeding. He's not going to achieve that goal. This vicious, evil, monstrous individual basically preaches the same thing that Hitler preached. And he will end up in the same place as Hitler, and all of his supporters and anyone who admires or respects or tolerates him will end up in the same place that he and Hitler will end up in, which is the worst possible nightmare that anyone could even begin to imagine. He represents pure evil. He represents rebellion against God's people and God's nation and God's word in the Bible, because God is represented in this world by the Jewish people. He says my name over and over again. He says his name is the God of Israel, and that he's called by the people that is called by my name. Over and over again, he says that in the Bible. And so David Duke is at war with Almighty God. And he will... And everything he wants to do to the Jewish people Everything he and his followers want to do to the Jewish people will instead happen to them. And then some. Anyway, thank you very much. Say no to Islam. And now we go to the great Kahana Was Right, BT, who writes, and I quote, "Why does Obama say Romney wants a $5 trillion tax cut? Isn't this absurd, like saying someone will print a gazillion dollars," unquote. Yes, of course, but Obama has gotten away with this. He says it because Americans in the swing states and voters are dumb enough to believe these things. He's been saying that Romney plans to increase taxes on the middle class, which is a lie. Romney has promised that he's going to decrease taxes on the middle class. And yet Obama keeps spreading this lie over and over again. What he did is he took this study from this extreme left-wing so-called think tank, this socialist think tank made up of Obama supporters, put out a so-called study saying if he cuts taxes like this, it's just going to be a tax cut for the rich, and the middle class, he's going to have to increase taxes on the middle class to pay for it. They came out with this study. There have been 6 studies by more reputable, objective think tanks that have said that is not true. And yet, Obama keeps repeating the lie in all of his campaign commercials, just keeps repeating this lie. And I'll give you another example of how Obama gets away with lying with the $5 trillion tax cut. He's been saying not only $5 trillion tax cut, he claims it's a $5 trillion tax cut for the rich. You can't cut taxes for the rich, just for the rich, $5 trillion. The numbers are absurd. It is ridiculous. It is absolutely laughable. And Romney has no intention of cutting taxes for the wealthy, by the way. He intends to keep the amount of taxes that the wealthy pay tax neutral. In other words, he's not going to raise taxes on them, but he's not going to cut taxes because he's going to eliminate loopholes that they have. He's going to lower tax rates for everybody, but he's going to eliminate their loopholes. So taxes that the wealthy pay will be about the same because the wealthy are doing pretty well in the economy. It's the middle class that's getting killed by Obama's policies. Those are the people for whom Romney is going to reduce taxes and reduce them substantially. So Obama saying $5 trillion tax cut for the wealthy, even Jonathan Carl, I think his name is Jonathan Carl, who is a very biased left-wing reporter for ABC News, even he said that what Obama says about Romney wanting a $5 trillion tax cut for the wealthy is fiction. Even he says that's baloney. I mean, this is a guy from ABC News, left-wing ABC News, that, you know, where they all support Obama, and even they say that this is baloney, what they're claiming about Romney. So it's just a lie, pure and simple. But you saw the polls before the debate. Most people believe the lie. So that's why he says it, because he can get away with it. Fortunately, Romney in the debates has a chance to finally, in an unfiltered way, counteract the lie that Obama and the news media have been spreading about him. Anyway, thank you, Kahana Was Right. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, will the Jews of Israel ever fight a total war against their enemies, or will they always fight with their hands self-tied?" Unquote. A great question, Maimonides, and the answer is that the Jews of Israel will only fight a total war if we're in power. If Kahanists take power, then we're going to fight a war the way God and the Torah command us to. The proper way that you fight against your enemies that want to destroy you. But that will not happen. That will not happen, Maimonides, as long as the Erev Rav, as long as the evil traitors that are now running Israel are in power. Anyway, thank you very much, Maimonides. And I want to thank everybody for the program. If you happen to hear this program, or if you happen to get this program before the holiday, which I don't know because I'm doing it right before the holiday, we had no choice because of the schedule, then I wish you a Chag Sameach. And if not, if it's after the holiday, in any event, I wish everybody a wonderful, and all of our great JTFers, a wonderful and blessed year for you and your families. Until next week, Shalom. And remember, we got a tough fight ahead of us. Let's get in there. Let's get in there and let's start fighting from now until November 6th. We've got a lot of things we've got to do. Help us with this. Let's get involved. Shalom.